Hey guys, welcome to episode 269 of the podcast with my guest Tara Sands. We had a lovely conversation over the phone, and I'm pleased and proud to say that we both recorded on good equipment, so I think it should sound good. Thanks to Katie and Natalie over at Nerdist for syncing up those files. I want to wish everyone a very happy holiday season. I probably won't be releasing an episode next week. I think probably a lot of the Nerdist team takes Christmas week off. So unless you hear otherwise, I wish you, again, a very, very happy holidays, whatever that holiday or holidays may mean for you. I want to thank Lauren for your wonderful email. Also, Kathy, for yours. Thank you. I want to thank everybody who signed up for the gift exchange. We have so many people doing it from all over the world. It just makes me so delighted and happy. I'm just thrilled. I hope I will be seeing some to many of you at SF Sketchfest this year. Can't remember if I said this on an intro before, but I'm taking a year off of doing a podcast just because we have a tremendous, tremendous amount of shows this year. And I'm doing a lot of other shows, so I just thought maybe it would be a good year to take off. But definitely doing a ton of other stuff and lots of great stuff to see that I hope I will be in the audience with you guys. So please enjoy, and I will talk to you next time on the podcast.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
There was a
I bonked the microphone.
You gave it
we're recording.
A straight okay. up bonk. Just give it a straight up bonk. Is bonk still a term that anyone uses for like, was that, or is it boff?
Boink.
Was bonking ever, oh, boinking.
Was it boink? I think it could have been both.
I love how immediately you knew it was boink. Yeah, of course. Of course boink. It's boink. Of course it's
but
boink, and of course it absolutely is not bonk.
No, but I think bonk was used too.
I'm totally going like to bonk him. I'm going to bonk him. It couldn't sound more wrong.
And what sounds less sexy than boinking?
Just boinking
boink.
It up.
Boinky,
just
boinky,
boinking
like
it
it's
up.
Not, yeah, no. Mm-mm.
It is sort of, it does feel very, there's something like very, like perfectly 80s about it, right? Because
yes.
There is a sort of like, sounds like a like an early video game effect or like a, mm-hmm. like a scrunchie. Like, oh, I boinked him when I was wearing my scrunchie.
And then like, I go to zoinks. Because I know Scooby-Doo zoinks. Yeah. Because I've always wanted...
It only makes sense.
Yeah, I've always wanted to bring back Aw Jinkies, but it's not going to happen.
Wait, what's Aw Jinkies from?
Isn't that Scooby-Doo also? Maybe
it
I made that
is.
Up.
It probably
did. Like, it's entirely possible.
I don't know. Yeah. It sounds right. It just, for some reason, the main things I remember are, yeah, like, you know, and then like Scooby's laugh and then zoinks.
Yeah,
and
Scooby
then
snacks.
Like, and then likes get like, let's get out of here, Scoob. Those are like, I'm sort of limited to. I know Shaggy wants to get out of there, Scoob.
That's all you need to know.
He always wants it. He's in the wrong line of work because he is way too scared to be working with a group of detectives. I just realized, child
right?
detectives. I just realized.
Whoever was the vocational test he took.
Yeah,
was
whatever guidance counselor.
Screwed up.
Yeah. Oh man,
that's such a specific. He should be like working at a car wash.
He should be working at a pizza place.
Yeah, like
but
that's an appropriate like, job.
I'm not even sure he should be allowed to drive. So maybe just yeah, like maybe he's the guy who I don't trust him to make the pizza, and I don't really trust him to charge like to use
no.
a cash register. So maybe he's just the guy who puts the pizza in a box and then hands it to
maybe,
someone
yeah.
else.
If or the, yeah, he's he can't like and he can't be like an Uber driver. Like, there's nothing where I want him responsible for anything.
I couldn't agree more.
Big.
I couldn't
that's a good
agree more.
Podcast. Let's just find the dream jobs for animated characters.
You know what?
I could
people would get really
that.
Into that.
Yeah.
People would get really into that. People are very, people love, as we know, as you specifically know, I semi-specifically know, people do love their animated characters. And
mm-hmm.
so that is a fandom. I mean, to be honest, like, I
probably that podcast even may already exist because, but listen, it's a great idea. Okay, it's pretty specific. It probably doesn't already exist.
That's very specific. Yeah, it's really specific.
Giving new real life jobs to animated characters is a very specific podcast. It does probably need a catchier name than the words I just said. They were
You're gonna wake up tonight with the perfect name for that podcast.
All right. Okay.
Animation and vocation in the title.
Ooh, see, maybe it's just animation vocation.
Animation vocation. That could be it.
We're going to be so
rich.
You
know what? We're going to go on Shark Tank with this. This is it. This is our big idea.
How much would we have to try to explain to them and just the blank expressions on their faces?
Mr. Wonderful, we would be dead to him immediately.
Oh, we would immediately be dead to him. We would have walked into the room as corpses, according to him.
Now, I'm still excited.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you, because you did bring it up, do you watch Shark Tank and think, like, I have ideas? You know what I mean? Like, do you relate to it as a person with ideas? Because I relate to it as a person without ideas. I relate to it as, like, oh my God, these people are so, they just come up with all these great ideas. I'm not that person.
Yeah, no, I don't. I certainly don't execute any ideas I have. I have like maybe like one or two invention ideas in my brain, but that's it. Like these people actually, I don't relate to them on any level. Like yesterday, I was trying. So my one idea and I'll share it because maybe someone will make it, and I'll hope they'll give me credit. Sometimes it's hard to like zip up your own dress in the back.
Yeah.
There's got to be some like super strong magnet or something.
Oh yeah, or like a selfie stick, like a zippy stick.
But it has to clasp like hard because sometimes like the dress is, you know, it's not always easy.
Yeah, when you're taking the deep inhale just to get it past your ribs,
right?
You probably need something with a lot of power that is also not going to break the zipper.
Or there needs to be an Uber-like service of people that just come to your house, zip and leave.
A zip and zap. Nope.
Close. I'd pay $5 for that. Yeah.
You'd pay $5 for a good old zip and zap?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
What's your top dollar price for a zip and zap?
Well, now I'm obsessed with the idea of a self magnet where you sort of have to be careful the direction that you're facing because all of your jewelry and like all of your accessories and belts will sort of magically get stuck to.
See, that's the problem with the magnet. That's where it loses me on the magnet idea.
It's always the problem with the magnet. Magneto taught us that.
Everything I know I learned from Magneto.
But and now we know in one of the recent X-Men movies, he had a vocation. He had a real life vocation working in some sort of a metal plant. I've already forgotten.
Like a real job. Like it's
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't see it. But like it's fun to see those people have like regular jobs. Like I always think it's funny that like really hot guys do dishes or laundry. Yeah. Or anybody hot for that matter. Like they should be doing mundane things.
Now you're just describing a calendar.
Now I'm just hot guys doing dishes. Yeah.
Hot guys doing dishes.
Yeah. Dare to dream.
Once again, it absolutely sounds like one. Now you and
another Shark Tank idea.
Yeah.
We're gonna be bazillionaires by the end of this podcast.
There's a weird episode where it's just us coming in as different characters every single time. They like look at us askance, like God, you look so familiar. But one of us has like a fake mustache. Totally. The other one has like a big frizzy wig.
Oh my God, I would live to do that.
I mean, I would really get on board for that as well. But what I was saying is, you and I. Major spoiler alert, are not in the same room at this time.
No.
We are in different rooms. Where are you? Are you in LA right now?
I'm in LA. I kept my New York phone number because it gives me street cred.
Listen, I did it too with my San Francisco number until something happened and all of a sudden I can't remember why. It was a stupid thing too. It was like, oh, people have to call me long distance from landlines. I don't know. It wasn't a good enough reason.
Right. You know why? Like I almost did that because when you buzz into my apartment, they couldn't do it to like a out of network area code or something. So I almost changed it, and I was like, "No way, you can't fool me."
How'd they get around it?
I can just forward it to my. I got a landline, and then I can just forward it to my. So yeah,
Good work.
So anyone at home listening now knows how to the ins and outs. Yeah,
they're still missing a lot of key information to take advantage of this information. So I think you're probably still safe. But okay. I've done that too, where I've been like, let me just describe in detail my entire neighborhood with street names and everything, and I'm like, I guess
people. No, I didn't mean that. I just meant like that they could take advantage of this loophole, like of this way to get people into their building.
You were offering the life hack, and I was making it about stalkers.
All are welcome at my apartment. That's not weird at all. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. And yeah, where are you from? Where are you from originally?
Jersey girl.
Your 917 is straight up legit. Oh. It's not like you lived there for a while. You really are holding on to your East Coast roots.
Come on now. Yeah. No, I grew up in Jersey. Then I lived in New York and did like theater for a long time. And then I wanted it to not be cold.
Understood. Understood.
Yeah. That simple.
Where are you from?
Where did you grow up?
I'm from Arizona, and I couldn't wait to get out of heat. So I really, as soon as I graduated high school, I was like, where is a colder place still in Arizona that I can go? Because I had a scholarship. But and then I ended up in San Francisco.
So just colder than Arizona was the only criteria.
In many ways, yes. Like if you sort of look at the places I applied for school, these guys, my listeners know this, but I really just applied based on location. It was a complete location choice.
Are you a heavy sweater? Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean, I think to be honest with you, I don't sweat enough, thus I overheat. You see what I'm saying?
Oh.
So my body's cooling system is broken, and so when I'm in hot weather, I become chronically depressed and I also don't sweat enough probably. So
am I the first guest to ask if you're a heavy sweater?
100% yes. Okay, zero. Good. I have to pause 0% of time. I absolutely have not been asked. But now, how about you, Tara? Are you a heavy sweater? Or you know what I thought you were saying? I thought you were like saying like, oh, like as if you were saying like, are you a Samantha or a Charlotte? I thought you were going to be, are you a tank top? Are you a tank top or are you a heavy sweater?
No, I just really wanted to know about your sweat glands.
I tried to make it so fancy.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't. I think I'm an average sweater.
Let me ask you this: where does your sweat originate from? Like, do you sweat? Like, does your face sweat a lot? Do your armpits?
My
sweat
nose.
A lot?
No, I don't know. It seems equally distributed.
Okay.
God, I wish I had a better answer than that. Just my left foot. I was sort of hoping. Yeah, no, I don't have any. Maybe that's why I was so curious about others. I don't know.
She loves sweat, everybody. She loves it.
Yeah.
So you sort of moved over to New York from Jersey. Did you kind of always know like that was where you were headed as a child? Was your close proximity to New York kind of informing the stuff that you were excited about? Yeah.
Yeah, I started doing. I did my first voiceover in high school. So I kind of been doing this job for a really long time. I feel like I've just been doing the same commercial over and over for many years.
For 2 to 3 years. I hear you. I know you're...
Yeah, 2 to 3 years. So I was doing all that stuff like in high school. Luckily, you know, I begged my parents. They were like, no, wait till you're older. And I was like, please. And I forced them to let me go into New York and go to auditions. And luckily... something worked out, so.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's the thing. I don't want to bore anybody because I think my insecurity as a high school student has been fairly established at this point. But I just didn't have that much. I mean, I could barely. I mean, I was so sort of like, you know, mopey and wanted to listen to emo music and stuff that was not.
What'd you listen to? Like the Smiths?
Well, I would say more Depeche Mode and the Cure.
Depeche Mode.
But I definitely listened to the Smiths. But I was like, you know, I liked being in theater, but I think I was so fragile in terms of like I could be competitive at the public high school where I was like, you know. I was good enough to do well enough that I didn't have my hopes and dreams crushed when I was that age, you know, but I wasn't doing anything outside of public high school. And I think in part because, you know, I had some sort of instinctual sense that I was just so fragile to criticism or failing or, you know, finding out that I suck at something. And so I'm always so impressed with young people who can just kind of get right out in it and have a, and still have a sense of self and not be discouraged, you know, to the point where they're just like, I can't do this and burn out early, you know?
Yeah, I think, but I think with some of us, like, I didn't have a choice. Like, that, I knew, you know, that's like, great. It's such, it's not even brave because I didn't have a choice in my mind. So it didn't feel like my mom would be like, how do you get on that stage? I go, I don't know. It's like, there are so many worse things I could be doing. Why would I be scared of that? You know what I mean? It was so practical mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm. I thought so practically. But I also, you know, I went to summer camp with all these kids that had shared interests. I went mm-hmm. to like performing arts camp. So, I, you know, I found my people. My people weren't necessarily in my school. You know, I wasn't super social in school. They were all like out. I had all these friends that I'm such a musical theater dork. I mean, ridiculous. So, you know, you find your people.
I love that too, though. I love the couple of people I've talked to on the podcast who have had experiences like that, where it sort of feels like their real life was kind of waiting for them in the summers. This idea of sort of like
yep,
having,
totally.
Speaking of superheroes, it's almost like you have the secret identity, right? Where you sort of look around. If you have this knowledge that, and this like foundational core of having found your people and knowing that that's something you're going to return to, every summer, that it would make a high school where you don't really feel like you're that inspired or
right.
you know, finding your people easier to get through, but also like almost like you have a secret. Is it kind of you're like, oh, I know who I really am and I know where I really
belong?
Yeah.
Well, like Howard Stern always talks about, he needed, like, I'm a big Howard Stern fan, but he was such a dork in school and then all of a sudden he was like super cool in the summer. You know, and girls liked it. Like, he was like, it was totally like a different thing. And then it's so crushed, soul crushing to go back to school because, like, you think you're like a stud. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, no, you're still the same douche you were last year when you were here.
So interesting that the way that dynamic not only changes us, you know, it becomes that kind of snake eating its tail thing where you start to be the person other people expect you to be and have decided mm-hmm. you are in certain contexts. And, you know, that thing that a lot of people, I think, especially with family too, right? That sort of thing where you're like, oh, I go out and I'm my own person and I feel so secure. I feel so mature. I feel like I can handle conflict and all of this. And then we all kind of go back to where we're from and we're like, wait a minute, I've evolved past this. What has happened to me? Who am I?
Right. Well, someone just described, we were talking to someone who was going to go to New York for the first time. And for me, I grew up so close to New York that it's just so normal to me. And he was saying that he went there and he goes, and it's, there's so many people and you can be so anonymous there and decide who you want to be. He was just there for vacation. And that was such a cool concept to me. And I was like, yeah, like, I mean, I go to New York, for some reason, I run into people in New York, which is so crazy. But he felt like he could reinvent himself on this quick vacation, and not in, like, any kind of sleazy, weird way, just in a, and not like, lying kind of way, but he could be anonymous and just own whatever he wanted there. And I thought, that's so cool. I'd never thought about it like that. But yeah, you can get lost there and just... I don't know. Maybe it's...
No, that's absolutely true. I mean, I think I agree with you. And what he described and what you described is one of those things that, you know, to one person sounds amazing and then to another person sounds terrifying. Like, you
right.
know, that really is one of the main things that I think New York has to offer is, like, if you're not sure of who you are, maybe that's a good thing and maybe that's a scary thing.
And
will it force you to find that out, or will you kind of disappear into it and, you know, all that kind of stuff? But so where exactly are you from in Jersey?
The address? No.
From
Bergen County. With one of your castmates, PJ Byrne. I grew up right near PJ Byrne.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, so we knew we overlap. We have a ton of friends in common. We went to like high schools that played each other in sports. Yeah, really close. Bergen County, right outside Manhattan.
Yeah.
And
so I know you started doing voiceover and you started auditioning and then you ended up doing theater. Was that a big part of what was fun about going into New York, was seeing other people performing and doing kind of Broadway and musicals and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember the first time I realized, like, anything about acting at all. I must have been in kindergarten or first grade, and I saw an off-Broadway musical called Really Rosie by Carole King, which is one of the greatest.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. And there was amazing. And I'm so glad my parents brought me. I'm just lucky that my parents even thought to bring me to the show. And there was it was a cast of kids, which already was cool. But at first, for a kid watching, there's not that much difference between TV and live until you realize they're real. And for me, it was like I saw a girl on the stage sneeze, and it wasn't part of the show. She just happened to sneeze. And this light bulb went off. Oh my God.
Oh, that's a great story. I love that.
Yeah. And then years later, I ended up one of my big crushes at summer camp had been in that show, which was so crazy. But that was my aha moment. I was like, they're real. Those kids are real. I could do that.
I love that. I sort of wish I had. Yeah, that's an amazing. You could write a book just based on that.
Well, I made it up.
Sell this to Shark Tank.
It's not true.
We gotta sell this to Shark Tank.
Totally.
I don't know how we sell this as an idea to Shark Tank.
I saved up. Yeah, totally. So Shark Tank's going to buy all of these ideas.
Oh, God. This is going to be great.
Yeah, like I save up my money, see as many plays as I could, and, But it's cool, too, because I feel like understanding that, because you probably have this with when you meet kids that don't understand what your job is and they don't understand the disconnect between either a cartoon character or a character you play. And you don't want to ruin the illusion for them, but it is exciting for them to understand it and meet you.
Absolutely.
So it's tricky. It's really a tricky line with kids.
I couldn't agree more.
Because I don't want to ruin a cartoon illusion for them. Like they say to me like, oh yeah, you sound like that character. I'm like, no, I am. Never mind.
It's true. It really is true. The best ones are the ones where the kid is just young enough that when you do the voice, they just go wide-eyed and silent.
Oh, and then it's awesome.
But then you have that moment where you're like exactly what you're saying. Like, did I just ruin everything in this child's imagination and life forever? Like, what does this silence mean? This child is not smiling at me. I don't know what's happening.
Maybe you inspire, did you inspire them to be like, oh, I could do that? Like then, because I'm like, there's artists who draw that stuff. And then you kind of can explain all the cool jobs they could have.
And then their parents yell at you.
Okay. But yeah, it is weird. You don't want to mess up a kid. Kids' imagination.
It turns out none of us want to mess up kids.
Yeah.
What a shame.
That's my new goal.
And so I want to get back to this idea. I'm now that I'm creating this false character in my brain, or maybe a slightly more accurate character in my brain of high school Tara and performing arts camp Tara. Tell me more about high school Tara. Like what friends did you have, and were you kind of dating, and what did you do to sort of get by other than going to New York to see theater?
Janet, I peaked in junior high.
This is real.
Which is weird. It's totally weird. My cutest boyfriends were in junior high. Well, I mean, it's not. I shouldn't say that. I don't know who's listening. No, like, I was cool in junior high. It's weird. I was a cheerleader. And then by high school, I decided I was a serious actress. And meanwhile, I want you to understand, too, I didn't get the leads in school plays. There was no indication that this is what I should do, except for that I would sing show tunes all day. And I had, family that had dabbled in show business. But I knew. And it was weird because I would actually, once I started working, I was doing shows in New York and not getting the leads in the school plays. So it was kind of a good ego check.
It still goes to this idea of like you being you in one world and then you a totally different you in the other. But go ahead.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I was weird. Like I was, and then freshman year, I was cool. But by sophomore year, I was like, I am a serious actress. I was reading Stanislavski and then went to this camp where I met all these people and then started doing, theater outside of school with this, group that a bunch, you'd pay to go do like a musical with a bunch of kids. And they all were from different local schools. Actually, PJ's best friend from high school. That's how I met him.
I love that.
So, yeah, we would do all these plays. Probably, I don't know if we paid for the rights, but we did tons of stuff and just dorked out together. And those were my best friends. And I don't think I keep in touch with anyone from my actual school. I wasn't I just kind of went under the radar, I think. I remember some, at one point someone goes, was like, "You went here?" And I was like, "Yeah, I went here." And it wasn't that big a school. Yeah. Like even like prom, I went to like prom with a, because I sent you like some weird pictures, but from with like a kid from my school, but then like we go to the Jersey Shore and I just took a kid from camp.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, like again, I had these like dual lives going on and then going into the city and, you know, which was awesome. I mean, I wouldn't trade it. I probably could have had a, I'm envious of those people that have those like, that had those like groups of friends in high school.
The gang.
But I think it's fine. I think I'm fine without it. Yeah.
Yeah. did you have the like, I mean, that's the other thing. Now I'm saying this as a person who did not really do a whole lot of camp stuff. Between
I want you to
years.
Go to camp now.
To be honest with you, I really do want to, and I know that there is like there are some pretty cool like like nerdy, crafty kind of indie summer camps for grown-ups in up kind of near where you're from. Kind of getting into that like Etsy, like it's you learn how to be this person who crochets these tiny animals and stuff. And I do
it's
have
like my
a real
dream,
right? And I definitely do have a desire to do that because the camping that the camp stuff that I did do. It was never that, right? It was never like, oh, I had this amazing, profound experience with, you know, loving what I do. And it was more like, oh, the lake with the, like, you know, the little water skeeters and then the spiders and then the horse.
So you're outdoorsy.
Well, I'm not. So that's why I shouldn't have been sent to any of those weekly camps.
That was the beauty of theater camp is that I think I went in the lake once in the like 6 years I was there.
There
like,
it is.
We didn't. Yeah, like there yeah. were we felt like there were some sports there, but I wasn't aware of them if there were.
And how I long would you be away at camp?
I used to go for 9 weeks.
See, this is what I'm talking about. And again, the only camp I ever went to, I would be sent for 1 week. And that's also not enough time to stop being homesick, particularly if it's not, again, a camp that's like full of wondrous people who all have this kind of same goal in their heart. And I'm just fascinated by it because also, obviously, you're away from your parents, right? So my sense of it, especially thinking about and being kind of obsessed with adolescent heightened emotions and energy and all of that kind of stuff is it just must have been so intense. Like the romances,
so
the all of that.
Oh my God, you dated someone for 3 weeks. It felt like 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the breakup. And I mean, that's the thing though. You're there, you know, you're there to do these plays and do this stuff. And you don't have home, you know, your homework is memorizing your lines and that's everything you want to be doing. And it's just, it's so intense. And awesome, and it was so cool. I mean, obviously, I know people that went there that hated it. So it's just crazy.
Oh, really?
To me
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, one of my best friends, I didn't know him there, but he went for 3 weeks and was like, "Get me out of here! I never want to go there again."
Oh, wow.
So it's so crazy to me that people could be in the same place and have such conflicting experiences. But I listened to because it was like a theater camp and they had like rock band and stuff. So. It's like some of the guys from Maroon 5 were there and they would literally just play music and write music and jam all summer. And where else can you do that?
That's
you know?
Really
so,
cool.
Yeah. So it was just this intense workshop. I mean, I'm glad I went to college and did all that, but I think most of my training was there.
It sure sounds like it. It sure sounds like it. I'm getting more and more angry that I didn't ever...
I'm mad this for is, can you at the end of this I want your parents' phone number because I feel like I'm blaming them.
Please. I need some fingers to get pointed ASAP.
Yeah. Well, also, do you have siblings?
I don't. I'm an only child.
Me too. So, see, that's why I didn't go till high school. I
was
going to
ask
to go.
You. Yeah, I wanted to know if you had. I was going to say like, "Oh yeah, did you have siblings that also that where it was like, and my sister had gone there, and then my little brother went
there." See, I needed to learn how to live with other humans. You know, I mean, I think that's
sense.
Like, that's why you can't live with. No, I'm just kidding.
You nailed it.
Listen,
I've been
get
going
into
to therapy
this.
For so many years, and it turned out it's only because I didn't go to theater camp that all of this broke bad, and that I'm a complete mess.
Totally.
Okay, so would you keep in touch with? Was it also a thing where you were touching in frequently, given the fact that there probably wasn't as much cell phone calling and texting and stuff.
Oh yeah, we'd like write letters, yeah. Which is weird.
And you
yeah,
would and like and it was like a big deal to call.
Yeah, a lot of them lived, you know, not too far away. Our parents let us have co-ed sleepovers sometimes, which I thought was weird. But, you know, it's theater camp, so I don't think they were too worried about the guys. Oh, that's such a terrible stereotype, but it's kind of true.
I also wonder if it's a parent who lets you go away to camp where they know you're not with them anyway, and it's co-ed, you might as well just kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And we were such, like we were probably singing show tunes half the night. Although there was some shenanigans that went down.
Oh, I think I would have gotten in so much trouble.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I want to see young Janet.
Yeah, you really do. I don't know.
Were you a promiscuous bad kid or no?
No, I wouldn't say that I was promiscuous at all. And I only had sex with one person the entire. I mean, I it wasn't like I had a lot of it with that one person. I would just had one.
Your phone is cut. Our phone line is cutting out at the most juicy part of
at the
this
juiciest
conversation.
Part? Oh yeah. Man, can you hear me better
okay,
now?
You're back. Now you're back
a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I just dated one person that I slept with for, you know, a handful of months, and then we weren't dating anymore after that, and then I just didn't ever sleep with him. So I wasn't promiscuous.
You
but
weren't like a bad kid. Yeah,
I wasn't promiscuous. Whatever that means to any one person, I don't want to condone or turn my nose up at people who feel sexually free at all. But
right.
But I definitely had. I mean, I definitely like so much of where my energy came from and like why I wanted to write in my journal and why I wanted to listen to certain music and take certain drugs and all the kind of stupid stuff that I did and the great stuff. So much of it was tied to, you know, the complexity of my relationships with not just people I was interested in, but, you know, friends and all that. It just was, you know, that world was just, that's what you kind of, for me, it was like, that's what I had. I mean, that was, you know, that was my world. And if you're not that excited about school, then those personal relationships become kind of everything. And so
everything,
when
especially
I think about,
without siblings.
Yeah, totally. And so the idea of being away, I mean, I just feel like I just can't even imagine. I would get so swept up in it all, I think, that
right.
I would just be, maybe it wouldn't have been good for me.
A lot of kids got sent home. Yeah, there's a lot of trouble that went down. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man. Did you have any relationships that like started at camp and you tried to sustain it?
Oh yeah, we all did that.
Yeah, totally. How'd that go?
Yeah, no, we're not together.
Not so much now.
No, we all did that, and that, or then like we would start dating during the school year, and then like through letters, like it was. It was so silly.
I love it though.
Yeah, oh, it was great. The gossip was the best, you know, all that juiciness. Now looking back, it was so traumatic at the time, but now like all that drama is so funny to think about. I went to a wedding of someone from camp recently, and one of my ex-boyfriends from camp walked in with his wife, and I turned to my friend, I go, I guess we broke up. Like, I loved the idea that for like many, many years, I just thought, well, we just haven't spoken, but
long distance, everybody. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And is that a thing? And is it kind of a thing where there is this sort of like that whatever bond that comes from camp, like, you know, as you said, being at a wedding, is there sort of a thing where someone on the outside, like a new wife or a boyfriend would look enviously at the group and be like, okay, I'm not a part of your little thing that you clearly shared this very special experience.
Yeah. I've heard stories about that getting uncomfortable. And like, it's even with, you kind of hope then that the spouses find each other or the girlfriend, you know, the other people find each other to talk to because we have just so much history.
Yeah.
And,
right.
Yeah. Totally.
And it was the same people.
We're obnoxious. Yeah. A lot of us were the same. Well, I mean, the greatest thing is, you know, it's a performing arts camp. Like all these people are writers. And I was just doing, I was working on Disjointed, the Netflix show about the weed shop with Kathy Bates. It's awesome.
Yeah.
She's friggin' amazing. But
oh my God,
so
I love her.
The showrunner went, I went to camp with the showrunner. And then like literally within different episodes, like people would show up that didn't know that they had both gone to camp. And I would be like, you guys know you both went there, right? And then all of a sudden it would. And then one day Kathy Bates was like, what is this camp? So we're explaining it to her. Like it was crazy, but it's, you know, it was so meaningful to us.
Oh God, I'm sure it was. Good yeah, gravy.
So it was like a whole cast of the name of the camp was French Woods. I don't know if I said that, but yeah.
Wow. So, come they mentioned on, everybody.
It on, yeah. French Woods, which already had a dirty sounding.
Right?
French kissing name in it.
Very yeah. much so. Did you say yeah. that? Were you about to say, I think I cut you off. Did they actually mentioned it?
On Will and Grace the other night, they made a reference yeah. to it.
Oh my God. That's amazing. That's so funny. What did your parents do? Did they stay together? And like, yeah. what did they do for a living? You said that some of your family, there was like a flirtation with performance and stuff, maybe.
Yeah. Well, my dad had like, they were city kids. So, you know, my dad went to like performing arts high school and he was a musician and my grandpa was really into like performing the opposite of most parents, he wanted them to all do it. So they had all dabbled. And now, I mean, they don't work in the industry, but they just moved out here to be closer to me like a month ago, which is great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So and they stay together.
You know, when you're an only child, you can kind of get away with that.
How are they adjusting to it? Are they enjoying the warm weather?
Yes. I mean, it's a big adjustment.
It's a big adjustment.
The traffic, the driving, yeah, it's crazy.
Sorry, remind me how long you've been here now?
I've been here like 10 years, about 10 years, yeah. You've been here a long time, right?
Yeah, I've been here. Now I think I've been here almost 12 years, which kind of
crazy. Yeah,
it's been 12 years. Yeah, that's there's something that happens where like everything has cut off for me. Well, I was joking the other day that I feel like my life is now just five from about age 30. Now life, I expect to just be 5 year increments that sort of some of them are long, like, oh, there's like a 10 year, 5 year increment, but then there's like a 2 year, 5 year increment. Like everything feels like it's been about mm-hmm. 5 years, but there's no rhyme or reason to that. It's
I
like
get
one
that.
Thing was a year ago, but it feels like 5 years. And then something else was, you know, 15 years ago, but it still feels like it was only 5 years ago. I don't know why it's everything's sort of mushing together in this kind of soup. For me, but
it's so weird. Yeah, it goes so fast. It goes so fast, and then all of a sudden, like certain things are. Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't have anything poetic or profound to say, so I'm going to shut up.
Well, I just described my life as a soup, so I think you're probably
soup.
Okay.
Aww, it's beautiful.
Oh, just a real sloppy, mucky, wet soup of a life.
Better than chili. Like I feel like if your life was chili, that would be less.
That's
a
true.
Soup is like a stew. You know what? Switch it to stew.
You know what, though? I can't because stew, to me, makes me feel hot. I don't know why. It's not a different
circle.
Temperature. It's not a different temperature than soup, but it's heavier. So, and chili still feels kind of like, hey, you're outside at a barbecue. Have some chili. Stew.
Maybe you're a cold gazpacho.
I mean, maybe I am a cold gazpacho. Yeah, right, because you see what I'm saying? Like, stew is like a Russian winter. Like, eat some stew to make it. You have to go outside soon. Eat stew, like that's
that's like porridge, like the heavy, like there's like just a heaviness about that.
Yeah, that was a joke that my friend and I were working on a show that shot in the summer, like out in the deep valley, and we would just come up with every day we would come up with the most inappropriate thing they could be serving because it was like 115 degrees. Because one day it was like that. It was like just some hot, heavy, like, oh, lamb something. Just something that's just you don't want that at all. And you have to go back to work afterwards. And so then it became like, oh, let's just have some guys, it's great. We got some hot chocolate. We got like a shepherd's pie, just everything that you would like, be like, why?
It's like Anchorman when he's running and he's like, milk was a bad choice. Like that's what that feels like. It's the worst thing I could eat right now.
Oh God, exactly. Now this is almost like I'm sort of starting to tiptoe my way over into MASH. But what kind of food do you get excited about? Like, what do you
pasta.
Crave?
Pasta. That's it. Yeah. Although I got some really good blueberries at Trader Joe's, and they're delicious.
Those two things are about as opposite as you can get.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just didn't want to think that I didn't appreciate fruit. Like my weakness is carbs.
Yeah, me too. Was it always like that for you? Because I definitely have gotten way more sweet toothy. I mean, I was way more sweet toothy, and then it evolved into carbs and salt.
Now you're a savory whore.
Now I'm a savory whore. Was that? Were you a sweet tooth kid?
Yeah. Like my grandmother always talks about how like I would trick her into buying me candy. Yeah, I mean, but I also would,
that sounds normal. I feel like a true sugarholic probably knows, and maybe if you don't necessarily immediately know that you were, you might have just been like a normal candy loving kid, opposed to those of us who like stole all the chocolate out of the advent calendar on day one.
Yeah,
and tried to somehow play it off that like someone else had done it.
Right. No, I wasn't like that, but that's really cute. But, you know, a few years ago, this is cute. A few years ago, I still eat candy for sure, but I went to the Jelly Belly factory.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I say sure. That doesn't mean I've been. I'm familiar. I've never been. How was it?
Yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous. It's a really ridiculous tour that, like, you know, they take very seriously. But it's super fun, like, for me, because I thought it was hilarious. And it's up like by San Francisco, like Napa.
That's what I remember, is just seeing the sign and it never being a good time to like do a veer off and take a tour of the Jelly Belly factory. And I do remember, I think I have talked to someone, like at some point I talked to somebody who's been there, and I do feel that like I wanted it to be Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, but I expected it not to be at all. But then I thought maybe whoever it was who had been there sort of said, well, they do have some elements where they've clearly, because they've decided to turn it into a place you can get a tour of, kick it up a notch.
You definitely see like the factory stuff of it, which I love. Like, I think that's fun to see. And like, they give you these like paper hats to wear. And, you know, again, like, I just find that funny when people like will all put on a paper hat together. Like, I don't know. Like, I just.
Wait, did you? And yeah. So it's just paper hats, but not like little paper booties or like a smock or anything.
No, but
what
like they
the
were
paper
like
hat?
Huge bins of jelly beans. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah. What is the paper hat protecting anyone from? Just
nothing. It was just a Jelly Belly hat. It was for fun. And people put it on. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, no.
This isn't making me want to go.
No. But my point was that I ate so much candy that day, and it's a bad idea when you're driving home on those windy roads.
Yeah.
I straight up puked, and
you
I feel
did?
Like,
oh, no.
Yeah, and that was not that long ago, and I feel like I learned my candy lesson very late in life.
You really did. Oh, God. You really did.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's like,
great.
I puked from candy. Like, that's something a six-year-old does. Like, who does that?
That's amazing. Ugh. That's actually pretty wonderful, although I would never wish vomit on anyone because it truly
is terrible.
Such
it's awful
experience.
Oh, it's the worst.
But you did, and so you did, and so to the point now where if you looked at Jelly Bellies, would you be like, no?
No. I went into, I got a bag, I ate a bag of candy the other day from Dylan's candy bar. But if once my, first of all, I wouldn't take a crazy drive after.
Right.
And I think I know my limits.
What are your favorite Jelly Belly flavors? Because I do remember taking my Jelly Belly preferences very seriously. Like
Were yours? Wait, what were your favorites?
Well, I liked any recipe that involved the chocolate pudding flavor of the Jelly Belly. I feel like there's some sort of s'mores scenario where I liked the toasted marshmallow.
Yeah, there's the toasted marshmallow.
Yeah,
that's what I was
like,
going to say.
Other people would scoff at me for liking the toasted marshmallow. I'm actually getting a little bit disturbed by how many flavors of Jelly Bellies I remember, considering that I don't think I've put a Jelly Belly in my mouth in about 15 years.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, though. They don't only give you jelly. You can't. It's not just jelly beans at the Jelly Belly factory. They make all kinds of a variety of gummy treats.
Oh.
So I didn't. I
really
need to clarify.
I didn't
straight up OD on jelly beans. It was gummy treats of all shapes and sizes.
But no chocolate, just the sort of anything in the jelly factory.
I don't remember any chocolate being there.
Yeah,
it's entirely possible. I don't remember them having it, but it's entirely possible there was chocolate in that vomit.
That's what I was going to ask.
I'm sorry.
I was going to get very forensic and say, do you remember when you were looking down at your own barf? Oh, no.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, I'll tell you what. I want to get into this. I want to get into this this mash game, because I want to give you some room to expound on your answers if you want to.
Okay.
I'm gonna try to curate some of these questions based off of some of the stuff that we talked about. So,
great.
The first question I want to ask is, give me three categories of grown-up sleepaway camp themes. Like three things that would be amazing to go do over the summer as a grown-up that that would take place in this kind of magical camp time world. Three.
Oh, arts and crafts.
Right.
I wouldn't do sports, but I put skee ball under sports, so great. I would go to a skee ball camp.
Great.
Uh-huh. And jewelry making.
I love it.
That's, yeah. I want to solder. I want to put some silver on fire. I tried it once. It was so much fun. Yeah.
Silver on fire, by the way, will be your memoirs when you have beautiful gray hair.
Oh, let that be true.
Right? Silver on fire, baby. Okay, yeah. Next category is three characters from like a musical or a play that you either, you know, you got to play and you wish you could again, but the circumstances probably won't allow for it, or it was something that maybe you never would have been cast to do, but you would have loved to have done it. Three sort of dream roles with no, if there was just like no blocks in any direction of, as to why you wouldn't be able to do them.
Wow. Okay. Let's go Sweeney Todd.
Great.
Oh, my mom's calling. I'm sending it to voicemail. Janet, you're more important than my mother.
It's so important to me that you said that. Can I just say that's that is my ultimate goal of a podcast?
Yeah. No, it's totally true. Sweeney Todd. Let's go The Witch and Into the Woods. There's a Sondheim theme. Let's keep the Sondheim theme going.
Love it.
What's another good Sondheim role? There's so many. It's definitely not anything from Cats, which is not Sondheim. Ooh, help me out with this one. Wait.
Oh, God. Mm. I'm terrible at who. Who did what. The problem is I mix up Andrew Lloyd Webber with Stephen Sondheim, so.
Don't ever do that. That's so rude.
I know.
That's
wrong.
Just disgusting.
It's nothing but wrong.
Your podcast is gonna be like 6 hours long because there's too many choices.
All the pregnant pauses, yeah.
Yeah, wait, how about Pippin?
Oh, okay, great.
I wanna be Pippin.
This is how the game is played. You're really doing a great job. I just want to give you the same kind of...
Thank you for the vote of encouragement.
Now that you've chosen me over your mother, I want to give you the same support that your mother would so you don't feel her absence that much. You're doing great, honey. You're doing great. pursuant to my question about cravings of foods, in this MASH universe that we're creating, you can have a food or a drink give me three things that in this reality are not great for you to have all the time for one reason or another. Allergies, makes you fat, makes you vomit, etc.
Crack cocaine
You can go straight to crack cocaine or you can just go cookies. Listen, it's up to you. But three things that we're putting them into this universe, they become good for you. You can have them at the snap of the finger. It could be something that's rare, perpetuity.
Oh, I got this.
Hit me.
All right. The Reese's peanut butter cups, but the ones from Easter where there's extra peanut butter.
Ooh, the eggs?
Yeah, because it's a different ratio of peanut butter to chocolate.
You couldn't be more right. I love it. You're right. It's more thin chocolate, heavy on the peanut butter.
So good.
Great.
I once had to eat one of those when I was shooting something, and I was like, oh no, I ate it. I need another one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because things don't have calories when you're filming.
That's right. That's right. Craft services table. Everyone knows that. An alternate universe. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. I got Reese's PD eggs. I need two more.
Cheese ravioli with marinara sauce.
Mmm.
Yeah. And, oh, God, they're in the same thing. I want to try to find something. Cheesecake. Let's go cheesecake.
Great, 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 great. I never developed a real taste for it.
Oh, well, you're not a New Yorker, so it's okay.
I honestly think that might have something to do with it. Cheesecake was just not that was not something that was ever in my regular world, ever. And so it's just not, it was something that I never really... Gotcha. And so now it's like if someone else gets some and I have a bite of it, I'm like, oh, that's so good. But it never, and you're surprised
that you like it.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, that is good. But it doesn't send me to the dessert table to get a piece.
Got it.
All right.
Fair enough.
That was great, great, great work with that category. Now, listen, this is MASH, so I got to stay true to one of the MASH classics, which is three alternate universe partners, sexy times. It can be an actor from any era, any age. It can be a character that someone played. It could be a cartoon. I have zero judgment, and it's wide open. It's a wide open world.
We're going to go straight for Paul Rudd.
Great.
That's one.
Let's get him right in there.
And then I can Stringer Bell on The Wire.
Great, great, great. I love that you went Stringer and not Idris because that sort of.
No, he's Stringer Bell, y'all.
Yeah.
You
got American drug dealer version.
Oh, yeah. No, I want him to be a drug dealer. He's great. A hot drug dealer.
Great, great.
Yeah. And number three. I feel like there's just so many. I would say John Stewart, but I feel like he's in the Paul Rudd category.
I see that. Yep.
And so is Robert Downey Jr., who I like too. And I don't know who will be accused of something tomorrow, so I just don't want to say the wrong thing. You know, it's just,
you're safe with Paul Rudd, I feel very sure. You're safe with Stringer Bell.
Please don't even say it.
No, I have to say it. I've been around him plenty of times, and listen, I'm just not willing to believe that they're not all. There's way more good. There's way more healthy people than unhealthy. It's just it seems right now like it's everybody, but that's just, you know, because it's this cleansing.
I just read a Dustin Hoffman thing that made my skin crawl. Okay, I'm gonna go for number three, Harvey Weinstein. I'm going Howard Stern. He's my boy.
There you go, Howie.
Yeah.
Howard Stern, fantastic. Okay.
Well, he hasn't been in any trouble. Okay.
Give me three calendars, like our Hot Guys Washing Dishes calendar. Mm-hmm. Give me three different calendar themes that you want to hang on your wall.
Oh. Munchkin Kittens.
Great.
I'm not a cat person, right? And they're not Munchkin Kittens, they're Munchkin Cats. I'm not a cat person. These cats don't get big, and they're the funniest friggin' things you've ever seen. Please look them up.
I will.
Do yourself a favor.
Oh, you know I'm going to. There's no question about it.
God, because again, I'm not a cat person, but these things are hilarious.
I'm excited.
Munchkin cats. I'll go with the Sondheim calendar any day of the week.
Great. I love that. I don't know if that just means a bunch of pictures of him every month. Or
I'm gonna go stills from each of his different shows.
I assumed as much, but I also liked the idea of just portraits of Sondheim.
Even the clunkers. Oh yeah, no, I want just pictures of Sondheim looking pensive.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
Okay, great.
And one more. Shoot. Oh, do I need one more?
Honey, you're doing great. No, you really are doing great. But yeah, you do. You need one more.
I do?
Yeah.
All right. Is there a Janet Varney option? Does she have a calendar?
Listen, for you, I'm going to go take some pictures of myself right now.
With different hairstyles for each month. With one of those bad apps. Like, just bad hairstyles. Yeah.
I'm in. I'm 100,000% in. Okay.
Please let me get that.
Hairstyle catalog. Absolutely. Yeah. Consider it done. Now, give me three movies that you can jump into. You're not reliving the plot. You're just getting to be in that world, hanging out with those characters, just getting the vibe of that movie all over you. Three.
Goonies.
Great.
Tootsie.
Oh, right there with you. First of all, that's both of those have a double O, so I encourage you to.
Oh my God. Wait, let me see if I can do a third. Wait. Oh God. I'm trying to think if there's anything with the word Brooklyn in it, because that's two O's. The Little Mermaid.
Great. It's got two T's. It's close. I'm right there with you with Tootsie. Okay, great. Okay, now give me three places in the world that you would like to have a vacation home. It doesn't even matter if you've ever been there. It could be the idea of what you think it could be. It could be like, oh, I've never been to so-and-so, but I hear it's great. That, you know, if getting there were no issue.
Bora Bora, because I've heard it's good.
There you go.
Vacation destinations. Does it have to be real?
No, You know what? Sometimes I do straight up fiction. So yeah, we could.
All right,
could
I'm gonna mix it up.
Yeah, mix it up.
I mean, not. I didn't even have anything in mind. I just wanted to know.
Now we've cracked it even wider open.
Yeah, the Jetsons, like great. That world. Yeah. Great. Oh, Westworld.
Oh, not like the current television show Westworld?
Yeah, yeah. I want to be in there.
Yeah.
I want to go there for vacation. It's a vacation destination.
I know. I kind of do, too. But then it's also so creepy there. But I kind of like that also.
Yeah, I do, too.
I'm into it. Don't even get me started on like my first experience going to Sleep No More and that I've been chasing that tiger for the rest of my life. And I've never found anything that quite does it, including going back to Sleep No More.
I've never seen that.
It was so,
wait.
The first time I ever went, I just had.
Wait.
You know what
this, is it?
It's the next time in New York. You're in New York. It's Sleep No More. It's the sort of like interactive theater. they say that it's some sort of a weird adaptation of Macbeth. Which I mean, I'm not saying.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
I'm not saying they say it. It is a weird adaptation of Macbeth. There is a character named Lady Macbeth, but there's no speaking. There's a lot of dance and movement, but the world itself, in terms of like, if you like, just kind of disappearing into a whole world that's been created, and you don't know what to expect. It's quite extraordinary what they've been able.
It's kind of like Tony and Tina's Wedding.
It's just
but way
like
better.
Tony and Tina's, but very haunting,
like immersive
and scary. Yeah. Recommend. Okay. Final category. Ooh, a lot of pressure here. Final category. Let's say if you could be any animated character, three animated characters that it would be fun to for a day or many days.
Betty Boop.
Let's get the
Betty Boop.
Boop
one.
There's our double.
Bam.
O. Betty Boop.
Yeah. Thank God. I'm gonna Scooby Doo. Another double O.
Shit, this is awesome.
Yeah. What's another double O? Help me out here.
All animated
character with a double O.
All I could think was the Boo Brothers, which are a series of ghosts that interact with Scooby-Doo in the Scooby-Doo movie, Scooby-Doo Meets the Boo Brothers. You don't want that.
I can't believe you remember that.
I don't know.
Well, I'm thinking Looney Tunes, but Looney, it's not a character, but...
Yeah, you're right. Ugh, I'm terrible at my own game.
Boo. Betty Boop. Who else would I want to be?
I love
Judy Jetson.
I was going to say, please don't feel you have to do a double O.
I know, but I just feel like I've come this far. And no, then you
it's
know.
Okay. You've got the double O's very well represented throughout this game. I
Thank
want you,
you
to feel confident. Okay, aww. I got to do my little squiggle so that I can then do the countdown. And so just, you know how this goes. Just tell me when to stop.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Stop.
Okay, great. All right. Will you do me a huge favor and take this time to tell people where they can find you, what you're excited about, what you're working on, anything that you want the good people listening to this podcast to know about while I figure out what your 100% guaranteed MASH future is?
All right. Hi, people listening who have stayed with this for some crazy reason. Tara, so on the Twitter and the Instagram, I'm Tara Sands LA. Again, a very unique name. Facebook, it's Tara Sands. Tara Sands is the way to get to it. The other one is not the right one.
So you had to double up on your own name to make sure people found
it. Well, you know what it is? My other account was like my personal account.
Fair enough.
I didn't I don't know. But I don't even, whatever. It's boring. What do I have going on? I don't know what I'm allowed to talk about. Like nothing.
All the voiceover actors always have that where they've got cool stuff that no one will let them talk about.
Yeah. And then by the time I can, everyone's over it. Coming out. I could talk about that. The new Digimon Try, that'll be out soon. They just announced something about that today. Some JoJo's Bizarre Adventure coming up on Toonami. Convention stuff will be on I'll promote that stuff on my social media, which I'm really bad at. So just tell me if I'm bad at it, everybody, and I'll try to be better.
Use it as a point of criticism.
Tara. I totally take it.
Listen, I've got some news for you.
Do you have my future?
I have your future. There's a couple of things I want to get right out of the way. I got to rip off the Band-Aid. You got a shack.
I got a what?
You got a shack rather than a mansion, apartment, or a house.
That's what I'm living in?
But, no, that's just your vacation home. It's just your vacation home. And listen, it's in Bora Bora. So I assume that that's just like, oh, you have it's like a no, cute no. little beach house. Like a little
it's hut. A hut. It's a you know hut. I mean? Yeah. Yeah, please.
So
Janet,
so
please.
I just, you know, listen, I wanted to get that shack right out of the way because that's the only negative in all of this positive. And even right. that even that is not negative as we've established. It's an adorable hut in Bora Bora. Now, I want to congratulate you on your ability also when you don't feel like being in Bora Bora or in LA to just hop right into Tootsie any old time you please. Just get right on
fantastic.
Up to Tootsie. Hang
I'm
out.
I'm Edward
Tootsie.
Kimberly. Edward Kimberly. That's the only thing I want to say. Yeah.
You know what's so funny is you say that and all I ever say from the entire movie, which is like the most non- relevant, it's the most non-depicting of the entire movie ever, is all I ever go what? Is, all I ever go is, she misses you too. Just from there.
It could be from why. Any movie.
I know.
Any movie.
I know. It's so stupid.
Wow.
It doesn't
that's
make
weird.
Any sense.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Dorothy misses
that's
you too.
That's really funny.
Oh, God. Okay. yours is so much better. I'm going to start saying that.
Yeah, you can have it.
Okay.
You can totally have it.
I want to congratulate. Speaking of fun voices, I love that you're able to turn yourself into Betty Boop whenever you want.
Oh, that's so nice of me.
It's very nice of you. I want to see if I can come with you to go hang out at Ski Ball Camp this summer because that sounds
fun. Yay.
And as long as you are roaming around in the woods, why don't we just go ahead and acknowledge that you blow everyone away as the witch and into the woods?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I think that's actually how you and Paul Rudd met, isn't it? Like he came and saw you. And then you guys
oh,
fell
I just
in
got
love.
Chills.
Oh my God. You guys fall in love. And then I know that there was that whole crazy fun thing where like you did that thing at Easter where you were like doing that little egg hunt and you kept finding all your little peanut butter Reese's Pieces Reese's peanut butter eggs.
Life.
And you were, like, feeding each other those peanut butter eggs.
Oh, we're so cute together.
You guys are so freaking cute together. I would say the only thing cuter than the two of you together
is what?
Is your Janet Varney hairstyle app calendar. That you look at every day.
Every day.
Month to month.
How will I know what day it, how will I know what day it is if I don't look at it?
How will you know? You won't know. So
I need it.
Enjoy Mulletember the rest of this month. And my new friend.
Please let this be real.
I know. That's why we like to end on a high note. I say we like it. There's more than one of me that does this podcast. We here
okay.
at the JV Club
it.
Like to end on a high note. Tara, thank you so much for doing the podcast. You're my new friend. I can't wait to actually see you in person.
For sure. You are so much fun.
Oh
this
my God.
Was awesome.
This was great. And guys, I will talk to you next time on the podcast. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.